We open up our Bibles to John 6. The text this morning is verse 35 of the chapter. We will start at verse 22 and read to the end of that chapter. John 6, starting at verse 22. This is the word of the Lord. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof, and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. That's how far we read the scripture, and our text is verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus had, in this part of the history, just performed a miracle. Miracle of feeding that great multitude of people. Dividing, multiplying the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. He fed that multitude and they were filled with that food. Following the miracle, Jesus departed from that multitude. After he departed, there were some who went after Jesus, looked for him to find him again. After some looking, they discovered where Jesus was at. However, these people, many of them who followed Jesus, who came after him, had a carnal reason for doing so. They were following Jesus for that earthly bread. They viewed Christ as one who could fill their bellies with this physical bread. He could give them all sorts of earthly prosperity and advantages, and that's why they were following him. Jesus makes very plain throughout chapter 6 of John that He is not here to give that earthly, physical bread and to fill their bellies with that bread. As He says in the text, I am the bread of life. Spiritual bread. It's not about physical bread. As you progress through the chapter, and perhaps you realize that as we read it, that becomes more and more plain, more and more clear to those people. Spiritual bread. Until we read at the beginning, at the end of the chapter, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. That kind of superficial Christianity is around yet today. Those who follow Christ for bread, whether that be the bread of earthly riches or pleasures or what have you, but it's for all the wrong reasons. This is the message of the prosperity gospel. Preachers stand before great crowds of people. If you believe, which is really to say, if you fill up our collection plate and fund me and give me my great big mansion, if you do those things, then you can expect a relatively carefree, easy Christian life, and you can have lots of money and many things. Prosperity gospel preachers are teaching those churches to follow Christ for carnal reasons, for bread. That hits home for us too. We need to hear that warning concerning superficial Christianity and following Christ for carnal reasons. It can be at times in our life that we follow Christ and we go to church for the wrong reasons. For the bread of a relationship. That's what's all important. Go to church for friendships that I enjoy, or to maintain a dating relationship that I'm in. That's why I follow Christ. That's why I go to church. Certain advantages that I have for my children in going to church. We need to be warned against following Christ for certain carnal reasons, for bread. Over against all of that, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. It's true that John chapter 6 is not a direct reference. Jesus is not directly referencing the Lord's Supper here. But it's also true that what Jesus speaks about, this spiritual reality, that He is the bread of life and we partake of Him, that is certainly symbolized in the Lord's Supper. It's appropriate, therefore, that we consider this text this morning. We do that under the theme, He that cometh to me shall never hunger. To whom we come, that's the first point. Second, that we come. And third, the promise of satisfaction. To whom we come, that we come, and the promise of satisfaction. Jesus gives here a very easily understood picture. So easily understood that even the little children in the congregation can understand it. Bread. You and I need bread every day. If you don't eat bread for your physical body, you die. You need it for your support, nourishment, and strengthening of your earthly physical body. It's very simple, isn't it? You hunger. Here's this bread before you. You partake of that bread, goes into your body, nourishes you, supports you, your earthly body, and satisfies your hunger. Before you came to church this morning, probably you ate. When you come home from church this morning, you will eat again. You need bread. The multitude understood this earthly picture too. Everyone does. Jesus had just performed this miracle of feeding that great multitude of people. They had that physical bread, took it, went into their bodies and nourished them. That's what bread does. Throughout John chapter 6, Jesus references that manna in the wilderness, that bread that rained down from heaven that God sent. The Israelites, as they traveled through the desert, they needed that manna from day to day for their physical nourishment. The picture is clear. The spiritual reality to which it points is equally plain. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. We partake of Him spiritually by faith for the nourishment and the support of our spiritual life, our life in the covenant, and we're filled. Jesus identifies Himself that way at the beginning of verse 35. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." As far as His identity is concerned, if you go back a few verses, He makes clear that this bread is from heaven. It's not from man. It's not of an earthly origin. It's from heaven. Go all the way back to verses 32 and 33. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." When you go through these verses and you go a little bit farther down in the chapter, that identity of the bread of life becomes even sharper. Now go to verse 54. And He says that this bread is His flesh. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Still traveling down into the chapter a little more, He becomes even more plain and He says, "I, Christ Himself, is this bread." Verse 57, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I am the bread of life, Son of God who assumed flesh." The bread of life. Life. Christ, by His death on the cross, took away the cause of our eternal death. What's the cause of our eternal death? It's sin. Christ, by His death on the cross, took away the cause of our eternal death, namely sin. Christ, by His death on the cross, obtained for you and for me that quickening spirit. That quickening spirit that dwells in Christ Jesus, the head, that quickening spirit that dwells in us, the members of Christ's body. By His death on the cross, He obtained that quickening spirit so that we might have communion with Him. Now when you think of life, when Jesus speaks of life, that is that life, that communion with Christ. What does the Heidelberg Catechism say? This is the full, rich, eternal life that we know and we experience and we have already now. The beginning of it. Jesus says over and over in this chapter also that He shall raise His people up. He shall raise us up. At that last day when Christ comes again and He raises the dead, then we shall experience that eternal life in all of its glory. Go to verse 40. It says there, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Life. Now Christ identifies himself. He says, I am the bread of life. And there's that simple picture again that also the little children can understand, that you need this physical bread for your earthly body. And without that bread, you die. It sustains and nourishes you. Christ says, now spiritually speaking, I am the bread of life. You and I already have this spiritual life. We already have it. But we partake of this spiritual bread, Christ Jesus, for the nourishment and the support and the strengthening of this spiritual life we have. Makes sense. You and I eat and drink Christ. We partake of Christ Himself, but also all those benefits that are found in Christ. All these benefits. Just think of righteousness, for example. That blessing of righteousness. We partake of that hungering and thirsting soul. Partake of that righteousness which is in Christ. And it's such a feast for us. Such a feast. Christ is our all. When it comes to our continued life in the covenant, He's absolutely everything to us. Satisfies all of our needs. The support of our spiritual life. He's the bread of life. Jesus emphasizes this now. That is the one to whom we come, the bread of life, Christ. But he speaks of this coming, this believing. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That coming and that believing is faith. We know, we understand that faith is first of all a bond. This union with Jesus Christ. God unites us, elect but spiritually dead sinners, to Jesus Christ. And in uniting us to Christ, God also makes us active. Here's the activity of faith that Jesus refers to here in the text. This believing and this coming. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. This trust in Christ. This confidence that we have in Him. Trust and confidence in Him alone. Believing, that's the activity of faith. Then Jesus fills that out a little more and He describes that fuller with that word come. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. This seeking of Christ and seeking Him alone, the activity of faith. Perhaps doesn't come out so clearly in the English, but it's in the original that this believing and this coming is all the time. It's not just believing and coming once, but it's daily. Is He not the all-nourishing, all-supporting, strengthening bread for this spiritual life that we have, we've been given? Then we come to Him and we're hungering and we're thirsting. He's everything to us. Believing, coming, all the time. that coming, that believing, is partaking of Christ, the bread of life. Later on, Jesus will put it this way. Verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Immediately the children are a bit puzzled by that. Eating and drinking his flesh and his blood, what can that mean? Jesus doesn't mean physically there, and he's not suggesting cannibalism, we know that. But this eating and drinking Christ is precisely what we've just seen in our text. Believing and coming. One of our confessions helpfully explains faith as the hand and the mouth of the soul, hungering soul, by the hand and mouth of faith, partake of Christ, that bread. That's what it is. To eat Him, to drink Him. That is what's symbolized in the Lord's Supper. We come here this morning. There's the bread on the table. We will see shortly that bread which is broken before our eyes. The elders pass it out. We take that broken bread into our mouth and partake of that. Just really as we see that broken bread, also the poured out wine, and we partake of those elements, we know of a certainty, we have the assurance that Jesus Christ, we partake of His broken body and shed blood for the nourishment of our spiritual life. The Lord's Supper, for the strengthening of our faith. Christ strengthens our faith. But there's more to the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, we actually partake of Christ. Christ is present in the signs of the broken bread and poured out wine. We realize again, He's spiritually present. As Christ imparts Himself by His Spirit, we eat and drink Him with the spiritual mouth of faith. That's the Lord's Supper. It's a beautiful thing. In connection to this believing on Christ and this coming to Him, we must remember two extremely important truths. The first one is, the elect and the elect alone and all the elect come to Christ. That's what Jesus says after our text, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In other words, only those whom the Father gave to Christ in eternity come to Christ. The second truth in connection to this believing and this coming is that no man comes to Christ except the Father irresistibly, effectually draw him by the preaching of the gospel. No man comes to Christ except the Father draw him. Jesus says that a little bit farther down, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Father will draw his elect people. His elect people will come to Christ. What a promise Jesus gives here. It's so precious. It's so beautiful. I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Never hunger, never thirst. That's the promise of Christ Jesus. Not, again, this physical hungering and this physical thirsting, but a spiritual hunger and thirst. Jesus refers there not just to hunger, but to thirst. Right before that, he identifies himself as the bread of life. And you say, well, why does he speak of this thirst now? Later on in the chapter, he speaks not only of eating his flesh, like we read in that verse, but drinking his blood. Now Jesus anticipates that idea of drinking his blood already here, and he doesn't just speak of hunger, but also thirst. There is no lack for those who come to Christ, believe on him. There is complete satisfaction. And those who come to Christ will not be disappointed. Isn't that wonderful? This is a promise, and you can hear it in the language. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And there is absolutely no exception to that. Every single one who comes and every single one who believes will not hunger and thirst. Who is the one who makes this promise? It's Jesus Christ Himself. The promise is certain. The promise is true. And He will fulfill it. Literally, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never, never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never, never thirst. Sometimes when we wish to emphasize something, we will say the word two times in a row. You ask a child, did you break mom's glass in the kitchen? If the child didn't do it, he will say it emphatically, no, no, I didn't. Certainly not. Jesus puts two knots in a row, two times, not hunger, not thirst, to emphasize so strongly for your comfort and for mine, there is satisfaction, there is no lack. Nothing else, people of God, nothing else in this whole world satisfies. Isn't that the point that Jesus was driving home? Here's this multitude that's following Him for carnal reasons. They're looking for earthly bread to fill their bellies. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You eat of this physical bread, you will hunger again. Don't we so often, people of God, look in so many other places in this world to be filled and for that satisfaction? We desire these things. Whether it's sex or work and money or food or alcohol, whatever it may be, all these other things. And we discover very quickly, these things don't fill and satisfy. In fact, leave these things even emptier than before. Jesus stresses, I am the bread of life. And listen to the language. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Come to the supper. this morning. Partake here of this bread and this wine, not only symbolizing that Christ is the bread of life whom we partake of, but we very really eat and drink Christ. Come to this table as a communion of saints and say, what a feast there is here for me. And we shall be satisfied. He is the bread of life. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for that bread of life, Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray now show us in a beautiful way the sign and seal before us that He is the bread of life of whom we partake. Lord, we greatly anticipate this feast. Now forgive our many sins. All this we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.